Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part two of Led by the Lord. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 24, verse 50, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Most of you know that we went to England, spent some years there, and some of the craziest things imaginable were the things that convinced me that we were supposed to go. Now, I've never been, you know, the kind of person that goes around looking for a sign anywhere and everywhere and, you know, thinking that, oh, you know, God's speaking to me through that bumper sticker there. But I have to tell you, here's what happened. I was having a stirring in my heart over a period of time. And one day, I pulled up behind this big truck that said England on it. And as I'm sitting there staring at the thing, all of a sudden, I get this sense in my heart, the Lord wants me to go to England. Now, the first thought in my head was, that is ridiculous. That's nuts. God's not going to speak to me through the back of a truck. So my first inclination was just to ignore it and just say, okay, I don't know why. That's just one of those crazy thoughts that come into your head and then you just dismiss it. So I did, and I went on about my business. The stirring was still there. A few days later, I was driving home, and that same truck was right back there in front of me again. And so again, I thought, wow, that's kind of weird. But still, it's too weird. It's too weird for me to think that, you know, God was speaking to me. But that was the beginning of these little sort of messages that began to come to me from the Lord about England. Now, at the time that this was happening, there wasn't any thought in my mind that I was actually going to move there or do anything like that. But it was just a sense. I began to get this conviction that I should go there. I should just go and see if the Lord might want to do something, because we had been church planting and doing, you know, evangelistic outreach and all in different parts of Europe. So I started to get the sense that we should go check things out in England. So here's what I did. There were five affiliated churches in the UK at the time, and I wrote a letter to each one of them and just said, you know, thinking about and praying about maybe coming over and visiting, and just would like to know if you guys would see any value in that, and put it in the mail, sent it off. And I didn't hear a thing, but I was still having this stirring. I was still having this sense that, you know, I was maybe supposed to go, but I had no word back from any of those guys. So I just began to figure that, well, maybe the Lord just wants me to go and not necessarily worry about that, but just go kind of scout out the land. I got a call from the man who was the missions pastor at our church, and he said, you're never going to believe this conversation I just had. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, I got a call from a man named John Vickery, who pastors a church outside of London, and he told me this amazing story. And then Fred was the guy's name. He went on to tell me the story. He had been praying for the Lord to give direction and vision and something He was praying that the Lord would, you know, bring the Calvary Chapel movement into the UK. And he said that as he was praying that morning, my name came to his mind. But the funny thing about it was he didn't know me. He had just heard my name, but he didn't know me. And yet it was clear to him that my name was being impressed upon his mind. So that was his prayer time in the morning. Now, a few hours later, when he went into his office, his secretary comes up to him and says, "Oh, John, I am so sorry. There's a letter that came for you a couple of months ago, and I misplaced it, and I just found it today, and here it is." Guess what letter that was? That was the letter that I had sent a couple of months earlier. And so, you know, I'm in Moscow. Fred's telling me this story on the phone, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is getting interesting, you know. So through all of that, I ended up making contact with John, and we finally, you know, went over and did that visit. And again, a strange thing, when we went over and visited that time, and we did a little bit of outreach in some different parts of England, we didn't even stop in London. On the trip, we didn't even stop in London. We drove through London about 11 o'clock at night on our way somewhere up north. And yet at the end of the trip, when John asked me, "Well, what do you think after having, you know, been here and visited? What, you know, is there anything on your heart?" And the crazy thing was, I said, "Yeah, I feel like the Lord wants us to plant a church in London." He said, "Well, where at in London?" London, you know, where the bridge is and the Parliament and... "No, I think down there." He says, "Oh, you can't do that. That's impossible." I said, "Well, what do you mean it's impossible?" "Well, you can't get a building down there. It's an impossibility." I said, "Well, I don't know. You asked me what I was feeling. I'm just telling you what I was feeling. I felt like the Lord put that on my heart." And so we said goodbye and we came back home. Just continue to pray. The Lord would give wisdom, direction, whatever. A few weeks later, John calls me and says, "You're never going to believe it. I think I found a building in London." Right where you were talking about. And so one thing led to another. But it was those kinds of things, along with just that stirring in my heart and in our hearts, it was those kinds of things where the Lord was going before us in ways that I would say were similar to this, in very supernatural, unexplainable kinds of ways. And then, of course, you know, when you're making a move like we were potentially going to make there, you're always looking for confirmation, just like the servant is doing here. You're always wanting to make sure that the Lord's really in this and it's not just my imagination or, you know, something worse. You know, as I would just pray for confirmation and things, I remember as we would go over and take these little trips, it was just astounding how every time we would go, the Lord would connect us with people that were lost, people that were open, people that wanted to hear the gospel, taxi drivers and just people on the street that, you know, you'd share with them and they would just want to receive the Lord. All of these kinds of things God was using to confirm that that's indeed what he was calling us to. So all of that to say, don't underestimate the supernatural leading of the Spirit in your life. We need to realize this. The Lord leads us in these ways. He directs us. And again, this isn't the only way God leads us. And we do have to be wise, and we do have to be sensitive, and we do have to be always checking. You know, the Word is our anchor, and we've got to be always going back to Scripture. Obviously, God's not going to call us to go do something that's going to dishonor him or something like that. But we can have confidence and expectation that the Lord will lead us in this way. But one of the things that stands out here in that regard is back in verse 27. Look at what it says. Again, it's... the servant speaking, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, Being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And this is a key point, I think, in this whole thing of being led and being guided by the Lord. Notice what he says. He says, being on the way, the Lord led me. And the point that I want to make is, you know, when we're looking for guidance from the Lord, a lot of times people are just sort of sitting around doing nothing and saying, well, you know, I'm asking God to lead me, but he hasn't done that. But here's the thing. Don't sit around doing nothing. Get involved. Be engaged. And it's much more probable that you're going to be led by the Lord if you're already in motion. So, again, don't just sit and wait for that, you know, call to the mission field or something like that. Get involved right where you're at. Be active, be busy about the work of the Lord right around us. There's plenty of opportunity right here in our community. And as we involve ourselves in serving the Lord, and as I like the terminology here, being on the way, as we're just on the road of following the Lord, walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, he says then, the Lord led me to the house of my master. So as we're in motion, as we're moving ahead, we can be confident that the Lord is going to lead us from place to place, step by step, in his timing. But again, I want to encourage you, be open and have that expectation. Of course, through the scriptures, God will speak to us. God will give us direction. But obviously, there are things that the scripture doesn't really specifically address, aren't there? You know, when I was praying about marrying Cheryl, there wasn't a verse in the Bible that said, marry Cheryl. So, you know, all of us have those kinds of things where, you know, there isn't a verse of scripture that tells us specifically what to do, but there are verses and there are principles in scripture that give us a sense of direction. And then God, again, through this speaking to our hearts, he fine-tunes that for us. I knew that I was to marry a Christian. I knew that if I wanted to be, you know, serious about my walk with the Lord, I needed to be married to somebody who had a serious walk with the Lord as well. I had a sense that God was calling me into some kind of ministry. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I wanted to be sure that the person that I was marrying had that same sort of a sense of a calling. And so as we look at this great story, again, this is one of the lessons that I think we can draw out of it. But there's something else here, and let's read on just a little bit further, and then we'll come back to it. So picking up, I think, here in verse 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning and said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, oh, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is the man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, here's another interesting thing. Remember, as we looked at chapter 22, we talked about the prophetic typology that was transpiring there in that story. We talked about the fact that Abraham was a type of the father. And we talked about how Isaac was a type of the son. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Isaac has been completely out of the picture since the incident on Mount Moriah. When Abraham comes back down the mountain, there's no mention of Isaac. There's no mention of Isaac again until right here at the end of this chapter. Now, here's the interesting thing. Abraham is a type of the father. Isaac is a type of the son. This servant, we're told a few things about the servant. We're told that he was the oldest servant and the one who ruled over all that Abraham had. Now, back in chapter 15, verse 2, Abraham, prior to having Isaac and, you know, understanding that promise that he would have that son, he said that Eliezer, his servant, Eliezer of Damascus, was his heir. And it seems that the description in 24 would fit with what we know about Eliezer, that he was the oldest servant and he was the one who ruled over all that Abraham had. But the fascinating thing as well is that his name is never mentioned in this story. Now, the name Eliezer is the Hebrew equivalent of what we have in the New Testament when we talk about the helper, the Holy Spirit. Eliezer means God is my helper. And of course, Jesus, he said, you know, the Spirit would come. And the Greek is the parakletos, the one who comes alongside to help. Now, we know that the great work of the Holy Spirit is to gather together a bride for Christ, to draw the bride of Christ together. But we know from the New Testament that the Holy Spirit operates behind the scenes, most frequently unidentified. Have you noticed that as you read through your New Testament, the Father and the Son are prominent and the Holy Spirit is always in the background? This is God's design. This is the way God has done it. But this is what we see in this unfolding story of Abraham's life. We see again, remember, as Abraham is a prophet, we're seeing these experiences are actually prophetic. They're acting out with their lives the things that God would do, as of course the Father would give the Son as a sacrifice, and then the Son would, in a sense, just vanish from the picture, but the Holy Spirit would then take up the work of drawing a bride for the Son, finding a bride for the Son, and the Son will not reappear until he is united with his bride, just as Isaac doesn't reappear until he is being united with Rebekah. And so we have in this story this beautiful prophetic type. And this is where we see the genius of the Lord in Scripture. How that just, you know, sort of interwoven into these stories, there's there's this other element that's being communicated. You know, if you take the time to study and to really meditate on it and to look at it, you see these things, they begin to come out in the text. Look at what it says in verse 53. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing. The Holy Spirit, what has the Holy Spirit brought to us during this season as we await the marriage supper, really? He's given us gifts. Just like Eliezer gives gifts to Rebecca, so again, the picture of the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And those gifts, the Holy Spirit himself being to a large extent the gift, as Paul says in the New Testament, they are the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So when Eliezer's giving these gifts to Rebecca, this is, you know, it's sort of the engagement ring kind of a thing. This is the evidence. This is the promise that you're going to be the wife of Isaac. And so the Lord has done likewise with us. He's given us that down payment. He's given us that deposit. He's given us the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And we experience those gifts working in us and upon us. We experience those gifts working through us as we wait for the time that we are united with our Lord. So it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. Some years ago, Pastor Chuck did a message, one other perspective on it, talking about the journey from Mesopotamia back to the land of Canaan, and the journey being on the back of a camel. 500-mile journey on the back of a camel. That'd be quite a ride for a young bride, wouldn't it? It'd be a difficult journey. But at the end of the ride, there is Isaac awaiting her. And the picture there is that as we are moving toward that time of being united with the Lord, we're on a bumpy ride, but we've got those jewels, we've got those gifts, we've got the Holy Spirit, you know, bearing witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Sometimes the road gets really bumpy, but we're moving. We're going somewhere. We're moving toward that time when we, like Rebecca, was united with Isaac, when we will be united with the Lord, joined together with him to never be separated. So in the meantime, we want to be led by the Lord. We want to utilize those gifts he's given us. We want to be led by the Spirit. So get active. Get involved. And as you're in the way of the Lord, he'll lead you. And he'll lead you supernaturally. And you'll look back and think, wow, amazing. I can't believe what the Lord did. There's so many great stories. You know, I think we could probably produce hundreds of testimonial books just of all the amazing, exciting, unbelievable kinds of things that the Lord has done in this kind of a sense here. So thank God he does lead us like this. Let's be open to that. Lord, thank you that you are still today directing the lives of your people. Thank you, Lord, that we're not limited to our own understanding or to our own mental capacities, but Lord, we are led by the Spirit. What a wonderful idea. What a great and awesome reality to know that you lead our lives. As we're in the way, you lead us, Lord. So help us to just get on the path, walking with you consistently, and just serving you in whatever capacity is available to us, that you might lead us, Lord, from one blessing to another as we travel on the road to that uniting with you in heaven. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Just Shall Live by Faith. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Led by the Lord. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0038. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.